A blockbuster novelist, to say the least, Anne Rice. Her latest book is Christ the Lord Out of Egypt. And you're thinking, is that the same Anne Rice? Is that a spooky vampire book? Yes, it is. And in fact, for a while, she was a resident of San Diego County. She joins us on our secured line here from wherever you are now. Anne, welcome to Kogo.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
You know, when people hear Anne Rice, they think about all those novels that you've done over the years, the vampires, the blood and gold and the mummy and the witching hour. I mean, the stuff you wrote when you're living in New Orleans. And I mean, you really got into those novels, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I did. I wrote well over 25 different novels. Yeah, all of them about the supernatural, most of them about the supernatural.
When you started getting into that, because they were, you know, again, pretty dark, pretty chilling, and again, very popular, how did you happen onto that? Was that the kind of a thing you'd always been interested in, or was one day did something strike you around the house? Because you lived right there in the neighborhood, and you know, I know people made pilgrimages. I think they still do to where you live down there in New Orleans to kind of pick up the vibes.
Well, they do. They do. Actually, I started writing in Berkeley, California, and I wrote Interview with the Vampire while I was at Berkeley. And the novel was just sort of a spontaneous outpouring, almost an allegorical story about the loss of faith and feeling as if I was in the darkness. I mean, the vampire was a perfect metaphor for that, for an alienated soul, you know, groping in the dark for meaning and yet feeling cursed and guilty for being a vampire.
So you put a lot of personal connection into these books.
I did. I wasn't that conscious of it all the time. But it certainly would come out. The books were about good and evil. They were about dark and light. They were about how you struggled to redeem yourself through art or music or painting or whatever and how it doesn't work. I mean, they were kind of the records of a long journey right up to 1998 when I went back to the church and faith came back to me.
So I want to talk about that in just a bit. So there was some foundation there, and then you went off and did this. Did you feel when you were into some of the, let's say, the darkest moments of storyline, did you feel some incredible evil power? I mean, was there something that would happen at that point that, did you feel like, because I always wonder, if I'm... Speaking as a Christian since I've been 9 years old, just to be in the interest of full disclosure here,
sure.
That there are times when you get into something that is too evil, you just know. It's like your internal alarm system is going, tilt, don't go there. You know, did you get some of that when you're writing some of these storylines there when you were sort of in that stretch of life? And again, very successful book, so that's the other thing tugging at you, like, hey, you can make some more money, let's do another one.
Well, I certainly got into the conflict. I got into the conflict because I would be writing about these tortured souls, and yet I was aware that I was making them glamorous, that I was glamorizing vampirism. I was making it a glamorous metaphor, like I dressed my vampires well, and they loved good music, and they visited beautiful cities and stayed in beautiful places, and I was aware of that. I was deeply conflicted sometimes about what I was doing because the text was exploring evil and looking for good, but there was something glamorous about the whole defeat, you know, that was going on for the hero or the heroine.
And your vampires went to Broadway, didn't they?
They did indeed, yeah, they did.
The big musical there. So you believe vampires are out there?
No, I don't.
You don't?
I believe they're wonderful metaphors for...
But did you, at any point there early on, were you kind of exploring that? How did you research that? Did you get people who supposedly had vampire tendencies or knew of people or anything?
Not really.
You didn't go that deep into it.
One or two kids, you know, would say, are vampires, is there really a Louis or a Lestat? You know, they'd be referring to the characters, and I'd say, no. You know, these are metaphors. That's what this is about. But I think the vast majority of my readers, they loved what they saw as the romance or the poetry in the books. They loved the atmosphere. They, even the kids that dressed up to come to the readings who would, you know, be dressed in velvet and lace, it was atmosphere for them. They would present me with poems they'd written and pictures they'd drawn.
But no doubt there's a few creepier types out there you might have set in motion. You ever feel a little remorse for that at all?
No, I can't say that I feel remorse for it because I don't see any evidence that my work attracted those particular people. Now, there are some scary people out there doing bad things, but I think...
You bet, and some listen to talk radio, so see, I'd have the same problem, you know.
but I think my work's a little too difficult for those people. I'm kind of into condemning violence in those novels. I mean, people who literally want to go drink blood, that has nothing to do with what I wrote.
Yeah. Talking to Anne Rice, New York Times bestseller, to say the least. And I'll tell you, I know you're in New Orleans for a long time. You have a heart for that city. In fact, on your website, you've got some connections there on how to help with post-Hurricane Katrina relief and, you know, local properties and all that. So talk about that for just a second, because I don't want to lose that element of this. You moved out of town, but you haven't lost the passion for where you used to be.
No, I had moved back to California right before Katrina struck.
And you moved to La Jolla, didn't you?
I did. I was in La Jolla when the hurricane hit, and really, what's happening down there is still tragic. People do need a lot of help, and they've gotten a lot of help from rank-and-file Americans and churchgoers, and all kinds of people have gone there and given help. And the rebuilding is going on pretty courageously, really.
All right. You can find more information on all of that, and in fact, everything that Anne Rice has written and all the different projects and so forth at AnneRice.com. You spell Anne with an A-N-N-E, AnneRice.com. Now, the new book, which has been out for a while, but just recently out in paperback, Christ the Lord Out of Egypt. And when this first came out, I thought, wow, what struck me first was you got very public about how you had gone back to the church, gone back to God, learned a lot of things through this. And I thought, okay, are there vampires in this book? Let me check. You know, and so I finally sat down and read it when I got the paperback, and this is very compelling. I mean, you know, it's not for people who might say, well, no, I don't. How biblical is this? I mean, you're talking about Jesus at age 7 and what his life might have been like, and it's in the first person. You went back, you looked at the Gospels, you're just saying, hey, this is a fictionalized account, but it's based on whatever truth you can gather. It is a fascinating kind of a flesh and blood picture of what might have been going on in Jesus' life as a kid.
Well, I did a lot of research for it in archaeology and history, as well as reading scripture over and over and over again. And it is the Jesus of the Gospels. It's the Jesus in whom I believe. And that was the challenge, was to take that figure and make that figure real in that novel so that anybody, an atheist, a Christian, anybody picking that novel up would say, I believe this, at least at the time that they were reading the book.
Well, and you don't have to be somebody who is a theologian to read it. You don't have to be a person of faith necessarily. It's just a rip-roaring good story.
Well, thank you. I hope so. I think that's the first obligation of any novel. You can't bore people just because it's going to be about a good subject. I mean, you have to tell a good story.
What did the publishers say when you decide, okay, this is where I'm going next? Would they give you sort of the, now, Anne, you know, you got a formula here. Stick to the vampires.
I didn't tell them.
No, you didn't?
I didn't tell them. I didn't dare.
Well, but that's because you're a huge author. You can probably do those sight unseen things where you say, we have an Anne Rice novel. You want to bid for it or not? Not going to tell you what it is, right?
No, I had a contract.
They back up the money truck and there.
I was prepared for them to show me the door when I turned it in. I thought they might very well say, look, Anne, this is not what we signed you up for, and we love you, but goodbye. But they didn't. They actually loved the novel, and they threw everything behind it, and the novel has done very, very well.
It is, and that's why it's out in paperback now. New York Times bestseller Anne Rice's book, Christ the Lord Out of Egypt, and especially timely here during this Christmas season. And again, it's just a terrific novel. I'm one who doesn't read a lot of novels, so it really has to be something special because I'm reading nonfiction all the time. So I sat down this and was reading it last weekend. And it was just very touching, and it really helped me get into the whole Christmas spirit, even though it's not specifically a Christmas book. So you hit a home run with this, and what's next now? I mean, do you turn into kind of the Billy Graham type of the novel world next? I mean, where are you going with this? Because obviously you felt pretty good about how this has been received, and then the personal connection to all this and kind of getting past some of the stuff you used to write about.
Well, my commitment now is really to write only for the Lord. I mean, that's really what it is. I won't write anything anymore that doesn't reflect my beliefs. What I'd love to do is go on with the life of Jesus and complete that, and then I'd love to do some early Christians novels, big biblical epics like we used to have with The Robe and Quo Vadis and Ben-Hur, books like that, and scripts like that.
That could turn into some great movies again.
I would love to see that again. I think we have great techniques now and a higher level of realism, and we can do some great stuff.
So why did you flee La Jolla months ago?
Actually, I love La Jolla, but it was a little bit too cold for me.
Ah, right.
I'm really a southerner, and I'm happy out here in the desert where I'm just, you know, getting that burning sun all the time.
And no humidity. There you go.
Exactly.
And your writing discipline, do you write every day? Because I hear from a lot of people who just churn out the books that they've got to write something every day. Is that the way you do it?
Pretty much. Every day, usually morning and afternoon. But the schedule can shift. It depends on what's going on. I may write this evening, for example, because I did other things during the day. But I try to get something in every day, and I do a lot of reading every day.
Keeps you sharp.
Bible, reading history. I just love to do that part of it, really.
Anne Rice with us here on News Radio 600 KOGO. You know her for the vampire novels. Her latest book is Christ the Lord Out of Egypt. What kind of reaction? We talked about what the publisher said and how, you know, you're pleasantly surprised they didn't throw you out, and then it became a big hit. But what about friends? Did you find friends stuck with you when you got more public?
That's an interesting question. I think some of my friends are a little bit leery. They unfortunately have a very negative picture of Christians.
Huh.
And it's very sad, but I wouldn't say anybody's turned against me. I think they just, some people don't know quite how to take it.
Yeah.
And, of course, down in New Orleans, where I went back to my church, I had 1,000 cousins who were Catholics and churchgoers. So that was a wonderfully warm place to go back to faith. And I think their prayers helped me. They prayed me through the door, you know.
Also a lot of voodoo down there in New Orleans, too.
Not really. There may be a shop in the French Quarter selling stuff.
Isn't there? You just think that's all trumped up?
The Queen has a Ph.D., you know.
Follow the money, that's what it is.
I think there's a lot more of Christianity than voodooism in New Orleans, and certainly a lot of just genuine camaraderie.
Yeah, well, that's great. It's great to see what you're doing. Haven't forgotten the place where you lived so long, and of course coming back to your California roots. I tell you, it is a bold thing. I gotta just give you kudos for stepping out. Of course, you know, when you're a big time novelist, you do have, yeah, you know, a little room to be able to go do that, but if it doesn't work, then, you know, that could be a huge misstep, but it wasn't for you, and I think it's very bold to say, listen, this is what I'm going to write about now. It'd be very tempting to say, listen, I can go back, I can churn out the vampire novels, you know, I got that down, could have the knack, they can put it on Broadway and do the movies, whatever, but to say, not going to do that anymore, and I'm going to go over here, that is very, very bold, and you ought to be commended for that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you being with us on the show, Anne Rice, and God bless you. Have a great Christmas season.
Same to you. Thank you very much for having me.
You
Bye-bye.
Bet. Anne Rice, Christ the Lord Out of Egypt. And again, not, you know, this isn't a churchy show, but, you know, we live out our lives on the radio. And like I said earlier, that I don't normally say, okay, with all the reading I do for the show, I rarely will read a novel unless it has some, you know, documentary evidence, if it's a historical novel, that sort of thing. And this one caught my attention, and then we've been working to get her on the show for a long time. Doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, and it's a fascinating story. Can you imagine that, when you just kind of tell? It'd be like, pick a star. It'd be like Tom Hanks, you know, saying, you know, I'm not going to do any kind of, I'm just going to do only God stuff now. And people go, what? Where is he? Who's he been with? What's he smoking? I mean, that's what she did. Basically said goodbye to millions of dollars. I mean, she's going to make plenty of money because this book's very successful. But to say goodbye to the vampire stuff, not going to do that anymore. Bush 41 said, not going to go there.